Having a vision is certainly a very important part of the photography process. In today's episode, that is exactly what we're talking about. What's going on, everybody? Hope you guys are doing well and you're healthy and getting ready for the spring. It should be a great spring for photography out west. We've gotten a decent amount of rain lately. I'm sure looking forward to it. Really excited you guys are joining for another podcast episode here. Or if this is your first one, welcome. In today's episode, I'm talking to photographer, Arizona-based photographer, Peter Koskin. Peter does some absolutely fantastic work. Really love his photos. He is just really great at finding compositions, really great at editing. He's just got the whole package. In this episode, we start off talking a little bit about finding a vision and what it looks like to have a vision for your photography. Then we move into talking about a little bit of composition. And of course, we finish off talking about a little bit of editing. So this episode has a whole lot of great stuff. It is a shorter episode, but it does have a lot of great little tidbits and tips that you'll find in there. I don't want to wait any longer, guys. Here's my conversation with Peter Koskin. All right, today on the podcast, so excited to welcome Peter Koskin to the podcast. Welcome, Peter. Thank you so much for taking the time. Will you start off by telling us about yourself for some of our listeners that might not know who you are already?
Yeah, I'm Peter Koskin. I'm a landscape and nature photographer hailing from the great state of Arizona. So definitely a lot of desert Southwest photography in my realm.
Nice. Yeah, great place to be. I certainly love it down here in the desert Southwest as well. In today's particular episode, I'm excited to talk about having a vision when it comes to landscape photography, which is something that you had noted was something that is very important to you and obviously a lot of other photographers. Can you start off by telling us what exactly you mean when you say have a vision and why is that important in landscape photography?
I think for me, having a vision is more about an idea rather than something that's already there. So you build this idea of what you may want to see and photograph and put together compositionally. For me, a lot of that is just kind of going back to the same place over and over again and trying to see if that vision will kind of come to life. It happens often, but it definitely takes a lot of time and effort to really put those things together. There's one particular image I have. It's my favorite image I've ever taken. And it was actually taken in Oregon in the Columbia River Gorge. And it's one of those images that you kind of dream of. I had this kind of this idea in my head of what I wanted to photograph and see. And, you know, I've seen numerous pictures of all sorts of places in the gorge, of the waterfalls and trees and all that sort of stuff. And the one thing that I wanted to get was one of those really mossy trees kind of framing one of the waterfalls. And it seems like it would be a lot easier to do than it is, but it was very difficult. And it finally happened on the one place that I was actually deciding and contemplating not actually going to. So it really worked out well in that sense. But a lot of times with the vision aspect, I'm just trying to get an idea and not really put anything into my head and keep my expectations relatively low. So that way, if something does jump out, it feels a little more special and unique to me.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Does the vision that we are talking about here, is that usually something that you're thinking of before the shoot when you're planning on somewhere to go? Is that coming up on location? You have a vision, or is that a vision that you're getting like after you've already shot the photo?
I think it's a combination of the first two things, you know, kind of before you go to a place and you get an idea of what you want to get, right? What you think you're going to expect. And then once you're finally in the field, you can kind of start to really visualize and see, hey, this might actually work out. I kind of have this idea and it looks like it's going to happen. But usually after the fact, you know, once I've already shot the scene and gone back to edit it, I don't really find that I have much more vision in the processing aspect. It's more of just the creating in the field aspect.
Yeah, that makes sense. One thing that I was noticing as I had looked through your portfolio pretty extensively, there's a lot of photographers out there that I think just focus on shooting sunset and sunrise, like the clouds. People want to capture nice clouds, of course. In my opinion, I really think that light and shadow is really what makes or breaks a photo. And when I look at your portfolio, I would have to guess that you probably think this too. And you could tell me if I'm wrong, but what advice would you have for a photographer that's trying to figure out how to use light and shadow to their advantage to create more compelling images?
For me, I actually don't shoot as many sunrises or sunsets these days. You know, it's a big departure from when I first started. You know, that's pretty much the only things I would want to shoot are sunrise and sunset, you know, get the clouds, the light, really crazy fiery sunsets and sunrises. But over the years, you start to really see different types of light, you know, all throughout the day. One of my favorite kinds of light is dappled light, and especially kind of late in the afternoon when you have these really nice kind of soft golden pockets of light that are just painting the scene. And especially on these big expansive scenes that we have in the desert Southwest here. I mean, they just look incredible and almost underwater-like in a sense. So really, it's just kind of paying attention throughout the day, not just sunrise and sunset, and kind of following like, hey, where are some shadows going to fall at this time of day? You know, what angle is the sun going to be at? Is it going to be behind me? Is it going to be to my sides? Is it going to be in front of me? Really just kind of understanding that and, you know, how to work with that, especially backlit scenes, frontlit scenes. You know, they're two very different types of light that you can work with just that kind of direct light. So
is there anything in particular you're looking for, I know you mentioned that like afternoon dappled light, obviously you need some kind of sunlight coming through the clouds, but is there any particular thing you're looking for in the forecast to go out and shoot? Or is that just something where you're like already out shooting anyways, and you're like, oh, perfect cloudy day, I'll see if I can get lucky. Like, how does that all come to be?
I mean, I typically try to see, you know, if it's going to be cloudy outside, that'll give me the best chance for a variety of light situations. Clear sunny days, I mean, you kind of know what you're going to expect, you know, pretty harsh shadows and light up until, you know, late afternoon. But usually I'll kind of keep an eye on the weather and usually poke my head outside and kind of see what's going on outside. Obviously, if I'm on a trip well away from home, you know, it's more weather dependent and kind of just going with the flow of things, you know, whatever happens, happens. You know, we can't control the weather or the light. It's just, that's the name of the game. You just have to adapt with it. And I think if you're adaptable in that sense, you're going to be a much better photographer, understanding those different light situations and how you can maximize that, with your compositions too.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of composition, one thing that I was also noticing looking through your portfolio is you seem to have quite a good eye for finding composition. And I mean, there's a lot of good people finding compositions out there, but what really strikes out amongst a lot of your portfolio is a lot of the compositions are in places where, like, I haven't seen a lot of photos from already. There's a lot of totally unique compositions, which isn't to say that for anyone listening that you shouldn't shoot those really iconic spots, but I am interested, because I think you have such a good knack for finding those great compositions. Do you have any advice for photographers to help find those better compositions in those places that, like I said, that you've been to where, you know, there hasn't been a lot of other people that have really photographed it, so you don't really know what to expect?
I think a big part of that is just constantly returning to those places, because the first time you go to some place that you have no idea what to expect, you might not even create a photograph. I'm just kind of seeing what's out there. What can I put together? Is there anything I can put together compositionally? A lot of times, you know, I come home with nothing, and a lot of people seem surprised by that based on the amount of images I have in my portfolio. But more times than not, I come home empty-handed, and it's those times where I come back with something. It's time and time again, I'm just kind of studying this place over and over again to really understand it and see it and, you know, see how things work compositionally. You know, if there's certain cactus gardens that work well with, you know, near far compositions or zoomed in telephoto compositions and more compression. Those are the things that I'm generally looking for out in the field.
Yeah. And I think that is, like you said, maybe some people would be surprised, but like when I look at your portfolio, it's evident to me that you live in the desert Southwest because you do have so many images of the desert Southwest. And like, I know just as well as you do that, like, you're not getting all these images on one trip. You know, you've been to most of these spots that you have great images from, I'm sure, many, many times. And so that's something that's important for anyone listening to know, I guess, is that don't feel like every photo trip is a waste if you didn't come back with good images. Like, there's a lot of scouting that's really important and finding the right spots so that, you know, when you do get those good conditions, you're ready to go. It's, at least for me, I know it's pretty rare that I go out and I get like a portfolio worthy shot the first time I visit a location. So it's nice to live in the area that you like to shoot, I guess, but I think you've just got a ton of great desert images.
Thank you. Yeah. It's, you know, it's one of those things. You just got to have that kind of time and commitment to just constantly expecting to fail, essentially. Not coming away with something, you know, obviously we always want to have something to share and show off from every trip. And, you know, the reality is it's not always going to happen. In fact, you know, last year, even this year, I haven't really shot anything except birds this year. And, you know, that's a big departure from what I typically do. But, you know, again, going back to kind of following weather patterns. Last year, one of my favorite trips was I spent almost a week up at the Grand Canyon during a winter storm. And that's just one of those things you plan ahead. You really watch the weather, you see what's going to happen. And, you know, I mean, it's the Grand Canyon is the place I've been numerous times. So I know a lot of different areas of the park. Unfortunately, it gets kind of restricted when you have these winter storms because they close a lot of it. But that's one of those times where you're really seeing atmosphere, light, weather, composition really play together. And it really allowed me to create an entire portfolio of images within a 5-day period, which is usually pretty rare for me.
I want to take a break from today's episode and talk about a really cool opportunity if you are a beginner or intermediate photographer that is really serious about taking better photos and getting better at photography. Now, usually about 4 to 6 times a year, I teach in-person workshops around the Western United States centered around helping you become a better photographer. Now, my workshops are kept to just 5 people, which means that you will get plenty of one-on-one attention. So regardless of your skill level, whether you just picked up your first camera or whether you've been shooting for 15 years, I promise you, you're going to get so much out of it. I'm going to cater the class directly to you. Best of all, after the workshop, I'm going to add you to my alumni group on Facebook where you can get literally weekly image feedback. We can connect at all times. When the workshop is over, it's not done. I'm still going to be your mentor. I'm going to be there to help you and become better at photography. Now, like I said, if you're serious about becoming better at photography, don't wait any longer. Register for one of my workshops this year. You can visit austinjamesjackson.com/workshops. That link will be down below in the podcast description that you can click on as well. I really can't wait to see you guys out there. And is a lot of your Grand Canyon, or maybe not a lot, but I have noticed it looks like you've done some raft trips through the Grand Canyon. Is that correct?
I did one rafting trip a couple years ago.
Yeah, it looks like 2022, I think, based on your... Right. So, I mean, that in my opinion, the overnight trips, and I've seen some of the canyons that you photographed down here in the desert, I know are a couple backpacking trips. And so I think that, for anyone listening, if you're not into backpacking and you're in good enough shape that you could be, that's a great way, in my opinion, to get good photos, because you can, you know, you get to, like, if you're backpacking, you set up your camp and then you can capture photos for hours and you don't feel like you have to get back to your car and get back to the hotel and make dinner and do all this and that. Like, you can just kind of sit there and watch as the light changes, and that kind of maximizes your potential for grabbing great images, in my opinion. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, you know, even just regular car camping at some place where you have really nice easily accessible, you know, landscape that's spectacular, you know, places. I mean, the Southwest is just full of them, especially on the Arizona-Utah border. I mean, it's just endless options up there, and you can camp right there on most of these places. And at sunrise, you can get up and just walk a couple yards and set up your tripod and go back to your camp if you're tired and take a nap and just spend the rest of the day there. I mean, it's just, it's a lot of places, you know, in the West Coast, we have a lot of really beautiful landscapes, and we're really fortunate for that. It might be a little more difficult for people who kind of like in the Midwest, where we don't have, you know, they don't have a lot of mountains and stuff like that. But I mean, there's going to be beautiful landscapes everywhere you go. You just got to really look for them.
Absolutely. And I know you probably don't want to talk a ton about editing, but I did just want to ask a couple editing questions, because I do think that you are one of the best photo editors out there. Really love your editing style, I guess. I don't even know if you would call it a style, but whatever you want to call it, I love your edits. I'm curious.
Thank you.
Your photo editing process is, and we talked about vision a little earlier to kind of loop everything back together full circle here. When you're post-processing, are you trying to fulfill maybe a vision that you had of this image when you were out shooting or before you were out shooting, or are you just trying to adjust different sliders and seeing what you like? Like, are you, when you look at an image and you shoot in the field, are you thinking, okay, I want this image to be dark? And then when you're editing, all the edits that you're making are intended to get it dark, or are you just actually adjusting sliders to say like, okay, this looks good, next adjustment. Okay, this looks good, next adjustment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's for today, at least, it's a big departure from how I used to process and edit photos. I mean, years ago, you know, I really kind of relied heavily on the processing aspect to kind of carry my images. And at a point, I just kind of got unhappy with that. And I felt like I was just kind of not doing the best I could out in the field, you know, again, spending that time. So now, especially, the last half decade or so, I've really tried to get things as close as I want them in the field, where I don't have to process as much when I get home. Because, yeah, I know all these different processing techniques these days, but I just don't like sitting behind the computer for hours and hours looking at the same image, trying to figure out, hey, is this going to look good? And then, you know, the next day you look at it again, and you just spent 4 hours processing it, and it looks terrible. So, yeah. my processing is really kind of dialed back. You know, I don't do too many crazy things. Yeah, I play with the sliders quite a bit still, but you know, like pretty basic stuff, just layer masking, luminosity masks, and you know, raw processing is pretty much my workflow these days. Not a whole lot really pushing the processing. Maybe I could probably get back into that, but it's not something that I really enjoy as much as I used to.
Yeah. And the more, I think the one thing that I've realized in the last probably couple of years is that like the less editing I have to do, generally the better the image looks, because you know, the more editing you do, the more you push stuff and pull stuff, and the more it can kind of start to look unrealistic. And the other thing that I want to note, when you say you want to, like, I guess almost try harder in the field to get everything right, I think you're not only referring to like obviously getting the composition right, but a lot of that is just like trying to get those great conditions. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, okay. You know, obviously, like, you know, I mentioned that Grand Canyon winter trip, and we just had spectacular conditions. I mean, I knew a winter storm was coming, so, you know, made our way up there. But that's that kind of stuff. You know, you can't just go up to the Grand Canyon randomly and expect that to happen. You know, that's really, you got to plan ahead, and that really maximizes the quality of images you can create, because atmosphere is more important than, you know, composition and light itself, in my opinion. I mean, those three things right there are what really make a spectacular and meaningful image to me.
Yeah. And it certainly helps to live close to the places you like to shoot. I mean, if you look at, go on Instagram, and probably whoever your favorite photographer is, they're composition. They probably have some great shots from a very scenic area, and they probably live very close to that area. It's really tough to be, to capture really great landscape photos if you have to fly and like plan trips in advance. It's nice to do those last minute trips, because like you said, you knew you were going to get that snow. So I'm sure you probably rallied last minute to make it happen and got out there and was able to get some lucky conditions, which helps you to create some really great images. And I'm looking at those ones from 2023 now. They're just fantastic. So I'll make sure to link those for people to look down below. So I guess I'm interested. I do want to ask one more editing question. I wasn't going to, but I'm too tempted. just generally speaking, what is one thing? Cause I have noticed just looking at some of your photos. I mean, you have some in your portfolio, I think from as early as I saw like 2016 to 20. I mean, you have some from 2023 in here as well. I can definitely tell that your editing style has changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. What do you think, is there anything that you would tell yourself back in, you know, 2016, 15, 14, whenever you were first getting started, that would be helpful, that would have been helpful to you back then that you now know now? If that makes sense.
Just spend more time in the field. That would be really the big one for me. Cause you know, I'd go on these weekend trips and obviously I'm trying to maximize as much shooting as I can. And you know, if the conditions aren't perfect or ideal and you feel like you still want something to share or to post or whatever, or put on your website. I got into that habit where I would just really start pushing the process to make something of essentially nothing. And it was almost just to kind of make myself feel good about, you know, spending that time and not feeling like it was a complete waste of money and travel expenses. But now, you know, if I go on a trip and I spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I don't come away with anything, I'm more interested in just the experience. So I don't really fall into this trap of feeling disappointed when I get back. Because now I know, hey, if I want to create a photo and it's not up to the standards that I want to create, then what's the point of creating it? So.
Absolutely. I like that a lot. The last question that I like to ask on the podcast here, because there is a lot of people listening that are trying to improve, they're trying to get better, and they look at people like yourself that are taking some great photos, and they want to know how they can get better. So the last question I always ask is, if you had one piece of advice for a photographer that's trying to take better photos, what would it be? I know you've given us a lot of advice already. It doesn't have to do with anything we talked about, just a single piece of advice that you would give to somebody, whether it's editing in the field, whatever. You have a piece of advice that would be helpful for everybody?
I think a big thing for me that's really helped me is just having some close photographer friends that you can kind of bounce ideas off of and also go shooting with, because you will learn from those people. You know, take a workshop. You know, they can be very expensive, but go on a workshop with a photographer whose work you really enjoy. You know, not saying to emulate that work, but somebody who you feel like, okay, they kind of know what they're doing. Maybe they can kind of shed some light onto this and maybe mentor me a little bit. I think that would be a big thing. I didn't necessarily have that, but I did have, you know, friends who really kind of got me to where I am now. And that's been a huge help and kind of a blessing in disguise, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only by taking a workshop are you going to learn from somebody whose work you like, but like there's a decent chance that you might also meet some friends in that workshop that are the same level as you are. And then, like you said, now you have those people to bounce some ideas off of. So I like that. That's a piece of advice that we haven't heard. We do get a lot of repeat advice, but I have not gotten that one before. So that's that's great. So just finally wrap us up by telling us, where can we find more of your work? Where can we buy from you, learn from you? What do you got? I'll include all the links down below, but just verbally tell us all the fixins.
The main place would be my website, pjcphotography.com. I do, you know, sell all my prints there. I have workshop listings there, but I'm trying to kind of really build onto that. So I don't do them as much right now, but, you know, you can always reach out and I can try to work things out. And then obviously Instagram, Facebook at Peter Koskin Nature Photography. Those are really the only places I'll have my work on display. And mostly it's going to be my website and Instagram. Facebook, it's kind of hit or miss.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you again so much for being here. I'll throw all those links down below. Yeah, thank you so much for your time and the great advice.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you guys so much for joining me on another. As always, I appreciate your guys' support. Again, I will mention, like I've mentioned before, if you've got anybody that you think would be a good fit to be on my podcast or any topics that you'd like to see covered, shoot me an email, shoot me a DM, whatever. I'll hopefully get it no matter how you send it, because I would love to get some more content out there that you guys are excited about, that you guys need in order to help you become better photographers. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Austin James Jackson. We'll see you guys next Monday for the next episode.